Good morning. It's 3:18 a.m. at Casa de Mondo Zasquia, Phoenix, Arizona. My voice is about an octave lower because I've had a viral infection in my throat, which thankfully is not COVID. I have a new person living with me, and I'm really excited about it. She's a first-rate human being, and I really am happy. I'm very happy. I've been listening to other shows quite a bit lately. Other podcasts, and most of them are extremely verbose and boring. You know, if you're going to do a podcast and you have a topic, you know, I don't need to know what your food intake was this week. I don't need to know little personal nuances. I want you to get right to it. Now, they're your podcasts, so I have no control over this, nor am I attempting to control it. However, it would be very nice to hit the audience up front and hit them with the topics at hand right up front and not go into any personal stuff. It's just a waste of my time. So this is a critique of other podcasts, primarily quote recovery unquote podcasts. First of all, to me, having recovered from the 12-step mess, I don't think there's any recovery except recovering from cults like 12-step programs. That's the real recovery. And it's not recovery from a disease. It's not deconversion. It's deprogramming. When you're programmed to think and believe certain things, which in the 12-step program, it's mainly slogans. You know, work the steps or die. You know, just a ton of slogans. You know, live and let live and all these other things. And it's just a waste. It's a gigantic waste of time. And it doesn't really, like I was saying here in the beginning of this, it doesn't get to the point. The point is if we're seeking help to overcome an addiction, not to recover from a non-existent disease, even the DSM has reclassified addiction as substance abuse disorder. Now that's a little bit better, because it's not a disease, it's not a pathology, although the practice of it can result in several other pathologies. I'm not a fan anymore, obviously, of any of these things, and addiction wasn't a disease that was doing push-ups while I was clean. Now, I no longer use that terminology because I don't have to. I'm not an addict, so clean has very little meaning except on a case-by-case basis. So for me, now I'm not talking about you, if all that stuff gets you where you need to go, and there's a really small percentage of you that it actually does, then stick with it. You know, I'm not trying to take that away from you. I will tell you that for me, this was not a disease. I had a lot of emotional problems, which I self-medicated by drinking and taking other drugs. And yeah, alcohol still to me is still a drug. It's a sedative. So I did all those things to escape from emotional troubles I was having, and it didn't work. My troubles, my depression, my anxiety got worse the deeper I got into my substance abuse disorder. Funny to characterize it that way, isn't it? At any rate, getting clean and abstaining from all drugs for a long period of time, about 30 years, was actually very good for me. So I don't negate the experience of complete abstinence. No, it was a good experience. It probably didn't have to be 30 years long. It probably could have been 10 years had my mind been in the right place. And actually, it was at about 10 years of complete abstinence that I began to realize that this 12-step program is nonsense and that it really is a cruel joke. Because what it enforces is self-deprecation. And if anything, we need self-love to overcome addiction, not self-deprecation or self-degradation or shaming or any of that. The program itself is very shaming because it tells us that we had a problem that was out of control that we couldn't manage on our own. And that absolutely, for most people I've seen who've overcome addiction, simply has very little truth in it. There's nothing wrong with getting completely abstinent and staying that way, I don't think. I think that's a great thing if that works for you. It doesn't work for me. I don't need to be that repressive and strict with myself. Today I am a user of cannabis. I use it sparingly. I was drinking again for a while, but alcohol is a very toxic substance, and I don't even like the way one drink makes me feel after a while, because when my body starts to process the alcohol, the side effects of that are not worth the short period of benefit. With that in mind, I began to see those type of toxic effects when I was drinking again, so I stopped. And see, this is the thing that people need to know, I think, about this. And what people can be trained to actually do is to, okay, you can use whatever you want. However, if it gets to be out of control, so to speak, in that you just can't wait to get that next high, or that you think that what you're doing is actually benefiting you overly much. You know, because what I found out about getting high is that, yeah, it did provide me another perspective on reality that wound up getting to be very, very helpful. Now, today I use it for pain relief. So I have a lot of physical pain, and cannabis gives me a lot of pain relief. So I use it, and I like it. I don't use anything else. I just use cannabis. I did do some psychedelics again. I did some Molly, some real Molly. I had some real Molly, and then I had some shit that was laced with speed. So I gave that up. The real Molly was great. I felt great. I had a great time. I went to a concert and completely enjoyed myself. So I'm a big proponent of those types of experiences. I did mushrooms with my son, and he gave me too much. I had too much. And so I had an anxiety attack, and that was it. I won't do them again. I don't want to do anything that causes me any ill feelings. Now, I can probably microdose them. However, the thing about psychedelics is this. I've done so many of them over the years, primarily back in my teens, 20s, and 30s, excuse me. So that what I would glean from those experiences, I think I've gleaned as much as I want to from them. And they were very helpful. The great part of the mushrooms was when I was coming down, everything, my mental faculties, my thinking, fell into place, and it became ordered, and it was beautiful. It was very beautiful, and I loved the way I felt then, and what I was thinking, and how And my life got to be even more orderly and more well-balanced as a result of that. So as far as the positive aspects, they were there. So if I was going to do them again, I would microdose them so that I wouldn't get into a hyperventilating type of anxiety attack. That's my, that's my take on drugs. I mean, I don't like to take drugs because they're drugs. Now, I know people who do that, and I think those are people that might be well advised not to take drugs. They're not taking them for a healthy reason. I have a friend who does that, and smoking an Oxycontin pill is bad for you. I don't give a shit. That's unhealthy. Physically unhealthy, and what a person gets from that is not healthy. It's not. They're self-medicating, probably because they have some kind of mental disorders that need some type of chemical treatment, although not that type. Now, there are other people who can take an opioid or whatever and not have an adverse effect from it. They don't let it control them. They don't believe that it's controlling them. And they don't do it all the time. Because there's one thing for sure. Opiates, for the vast majority, are physically addictive. So we don't want to get physically addicted to anything except maybe exercise. And even then, that has to be moderated. What I'm espousing here, though, is a moderate approach if you're going to take drugs. Okay, you either take them for therapeutic, medicinal reasons, or if you're going to take them for some kind of psychedelic, self-initiatory experience, great. However, that needs to be planned. We don't want to plan the outcomes because the outcomes might be terrific, if we don't plan them, if we leave them unrestrained. Of course, that doesn't mean we're going to go out and commit violence. That doesn't mean we're going to go do harmful things or to others or ourselves. No. So I am not a person that wants to use drugs because I like to be high. No. I use drugs because they make my physicality feel better. And also sometimes it's a mental ordering situation. So I listen to these 12-step knuckleheads, and they are knuckleheads to me. These people are missing the point of what they're doing. I have no problem with them being completely abstinent. I think that's a great choice. However, it's not good for stress. You have to do a lot of extra activities to alleviate stress. Probably have to get very good at mindfulness meditations and relaxation meditations. Meditations can substitute, and can be, actually, they're a better stress reliever. They're not something to get closer to the all or the universal God consciousness or Jesus or any of that. That to me is all nonsense and it's not necessary. You can do it if you want to for fun. I mean, you can do whatever you want. As long as it doesn't infringe on the rights and the freedom of myself or others, it's really cool. And as long as you're not destroying yourself, that's not cool. These days, I'm not as anti-12-step as I was. I'm still anti the concept for most people. It doesn't work for most people. And, of course, the argument that comes back, well, it does work if you work it and you stick with it. Well, anything will do that. If you have a strong enough will and determination behind staying clean for whatever reason, you will stay clean. Of course, when you're doing that, probably the best reasoning in doing that, the best way to do that is to get clean and remain abstinent so you can improve your life, to improve the quality of your life, and to manage your life and your affairs and your thinking. Because there is the error in the first step. The first step tells you that that your addiction made your life unmanageable, that it was out of control, that you were powerless. And that's complete bullshit. Almost everyone, the vast majority who got clean, did so because they chose it. It was an act of will. In that sense, they had power over addiction. And there's many people, many more people, who have overcome addiction all on their own with no help from anybody, no counseling, no 12-step program, no religion, no nothing. They just decided to kick it to the curb in their life, and they did. And that's the majority from what research is telling us. Although getting outside help, there's nothing wrong with that. That can be okay, so long as we don't get ourselves into a cult, to where the cult is controlling our thinking and our behavior and everything, to the extent to where it actually is, in those respects, I think, just as harmful as addiction. In fact, for a lot of people, the recovery dance becomes their addiction. And it's not recovery from a disease, in my experience and the experience I've seen of others. It's not a disease. So lose that shit. That keeps you trapped in the belief that without this 12-step nonsense, you're not going to be okay. Fact of the matter is, a lot of people, millions of people, have overcome addiction and they are okay. And the 12 steps and religious experiences had nothing to do with it. Most of your 12-step people are in denial that what they're doing is practicing a quasi-religion, a quasi-religion. That's what they're doing. They've got this weird God that they've created. You know, the God of their understanding. What I understood about that was there is no God. And so that was just completely erroneous. You know, you get to the second step, and that really fucks things up, because it says we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. First of all, what you're doing there is that you're beginning the process of believing or reinforcing the erroneous belief that you're insane. In fact, there are people who have addiction problems who are insane, probably. There's no question about that. However, addiction itself is not an insanity. And they accept that you keep doing the same things expecting different results. Now, that is a set of choices. That is not this uncontrollable urge to, blah, 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 to masturbate in public or whatever it is you're going to do. No, it's not. So we don't expect different results. We want to get the same results. We want to get that high again. We want to get that feeling of euphoria and freedom that can come with the use of some substances. I noticed that about opiates, is that when the opiate works, that there's this big feeling of euphoria, and that's what people get, quote, addicted, unquote. That's what they get addicted to. So, and that's what you have to watch out, because if you want that over and over again, that's not good. That's unhealthy. You don't need that. You can get that feeling by reading a book, for Christ's sakes, or taking a walk, or exercising, or having healthy sex. You can get that feeling from a lot of different activities other than taking an opiate. And this is all common sense, rational thinking. And I had a sponsor who told me that what addiction boils down to with a lot of people, and this was somebody who had 400 million years clean and sponsored way too many people, hundreds of people. but anyway, what his premise was is that addicts, as such, are people who lack common sense. And he told me, he really kind of reinforced the whole thing, that I'm not an addict. You know, I'm not sure there really are addicts. I think there's a condition called addiction that people choose to get into in various ways. Some cases, it's a very, very, very slight choosing. I mean, in other words, it's like, well, maybe this, maybe that. It's still a choice. The choice to get addicted and stay addicted, it's a choice. So, and these people want to argue with me on that. I don't care. You can argue all you want. You're not going to change my mind. I'm very sure from my experience and the experience of many, many others that addiction is a choice. And when we beat the addiction, when we overcome the addiction, we have chosen a pathway to do that, and we have made a commitment to do that. And this is how I find myself free from addiction, completely free of it, at about 10 years clean. At about 10 years, it was like I knew that I was free from it and that I really wasn't an addict. And I had taken half of a Vicodin because I had this horrible headache. Well, my headache went away, and I no longer took any Vicodin. That was the only Vicodin I took. It was a half of Vicodin. Boom, done. Didn't take any more. Okay? So, that was a choice. All of that. Now, I could have chosen to get a whole bottle of pills and start taking Vicodin all the time. Sure. And it did relieve my pain, which is the whole idea of taking something like that. It was temporary pain relief to find another solution to the cause of the pain. And if all it is taking the opiate, there's something wrong there that doesn't have anything to do with what's causing the pain. So there's something wrong with taking the drug besides killing the pain. Now, people that have chronic, excruciating pain, I understand how they, choose to get physically addicted to opiates, especially if they're getting pain relief. That, however, I believe from my experience also that it needs careful management, that we need to carefully manage all that type of thing. And that's where you need a professional who really knows what the fuck they're doing and who has experience in helping people along the viewpoint that I have. But I don't think my viewpoint is the only right one. I do think it's a very good viewpoint, and you can develop a great protocol for overcoming addiction. And then after that, if you want to use some substances for various healthy reasons, great. If not, if you're just doing it to get off, I think you have to look at that. And I think you have to look at all the other means of getting off. Because, when you get off naturally, quote, naturally, unquote, when you get off that way without using drugs, it is actually longer lasting and a superior state over just the drug-induced state, in my experience. Okay, I can do that without drugs, and it's far superior. And that's why I don't use drugs for that. I don't. Drugs for me are a pain reliever. And usually what these pain relievers do is they distract me from the pain. They don't really get rid of the pain. They distract me from it so that I'm not feeling it as much. And there's an important message in that, I believe, as well. But we're not talking about pain management right now, even though that has become a great deal of my discussion here. At any rate, in listening to these people and their whole shtick about this recovery from a non-existent disease, which I think is nonsense. I guess if it helps you, it's okay, but I don't really see a lot of these people being helped. I have people, I talked to one the other day, that I know who think everything is controlled by God. That everything that happens is controlled by God. The guy goes, "It's all God, man." Okay, well, it's not God. There is no God. What this is all in your fucking mind. So that when negative shit happens, it's not your God punishing you are causing you to face the consequences of your actions. It's you experiencing the consequences of your actions. It doesn't have anything to do with a God who, very frankly, in my experience, does not exist. And I had a lot of experiences with gods and God and all this other stuff. And you know what? I think it's useful from a transcendental point of view. It's useful. And I think from a magical point of view, and I did a podcast on invocation. I think from a magical point of view, in modeling various characteristics of these supposed gods, it's very helpful. And invoking these gods, in other words, having them come out of our consciousness, you know, as an entity that our belief system has developed, that can be helpful as well. But this whole God thing is just ridiculous. You know, the third step, we made a decision. Now, there's the most important thing, most important short phrase in that whole mess. We made a decision. Yeah, it was a group decision that all of us made. That's a great thing. The next part is extremely toxic. To turn our will and our lives over to the care. Okay, now that was an important word in this step, you know, along the way, because the whole care thing is, there's this loving, positive, gigantic entity out there that cares for us no matter what and loves us unconditionally with all the power of and beyond the universe. Okay? That's a great concept. However, it doesn't exist. Oh, my goodness. Turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Well, it might be a little softer blow if it was as God as we understood God. However, it doesn't say that. It says Him. And then people attempt to try to water that down, you know, to downplay that and make that more acceptable. And what it is it's just a prelude to getting you into a paternal monotheism, which really is what that is. And it's a, you know, that is where the shit, now, the shit has begun to hit the fan in step two. Okay, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. You know, and that, and okay, so I chose to change that when I used the steps was a power great within ourselves and from our fellows that could, not greater than, but great within and from ourselves and others that could restore us to sanity. So, in other words, that could restore us to a healthy life pathway. How about that? Well, the steps, you know, you have to reword them in your mind and you have to work them in these new perspectives and you have to work with somebody, a sponsor, who's going to help you do it that way. And there are people out there who do it that way. And they do get a lot out of it. I'm telling you, it's not necessary. Then the fourth step is really good. Fourth and fifth steps have a great principle in them. Okay, it's self-disclosure. And self-disclosure to get rid of our own self-judgmental toxicity. Our own self-mental destructiveness. Our own self-judgmental problems. Okay, so this is where I'm going to leave step discussion. Oh, he's a 1-2-3 guy, they would say. No, not really. I mean, I had a lot of depth in the steps from 4 through 12. However, the thing of it is they're for all their usefulness, in the end, they're just a slight beginning as to what is possible in overcoming addiction and crafting a new and better life for ourselves. That's where it's really, really cool. Anyway, so that's the end of the steps for today. I will do more podcasts about this topic with other people. And I appreciate all of you and where you're coming from, what you're doing, that are supportive. And those that are not, you're not in the game, so it doesn't matter. So I want you to have a great Tuesday. It's Tuesday, a day of Mars. So get after it. Be assertive in a healthy and productive way.